So today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter number 3, text number 21. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Yat yat acharati shrestha tat tat eva itada jana sa yat pramanam kurute loka tat anuvartate yad yad acharati shrestas tatta devitaro jana sayat pramanam kurute lokastadanuvartate yad yad acharati shrestas tatta devetaro jana sayat pramanam kurute lokastadanuvartate yat yat tat yat yat whatever acharati he does shrestha a respectable leader tat that tat and that alone eva certainly itara common jana person sa he yat whichever pramanam example kurute does perform loka all the world tat that anuvartate follows in the footsteps translation and purport by his divine grace Srila Prabhupada. Whatever action a great man performs, common men follow. And whatever standards he sets by exemplary acts, all the world pursues. Purport. People in general always require a leader who can teach the public by practical behavior. A leader cannot teach the public to stop smoking if he himself smokes. Lord Chaitanya said that a teacher should behave properly before he begins teaching. One who teaches in that way is called acharya, or the ideal teacher. Therefore, a teacher must follow the principles of Shastra scriptures to teach the common man. The teacher cannot manufacture rules against the principles of revealed scriptures. The revealed scriptures like Manu Samhita and similar others are considered the standard books to be followed by human society. Thus, the leader's teaching should be based on the principles of such standard shastras. One who desires to improve himself must follow the standard rules as they are practiced by the great teachers. The Srimad Bhagavatam also affirms that one should follow in the footsteps of great devotees, and that is the way of progress on the path of spiritual realization. The king, or the executive head of a state, the father and the school teacher are all considered to be natural leaders of the innocent people in general. All such natural leaders have a great responsibility to their dependents. Therefore, they must be conversant with standard books of moral and spiritual codes. So we're reading here about the acharya, the ideal teacher. And Krishna is actually saying how an ideal teacher can influence the whole world. Lokastadanuvartate. So So that's actually a pretty interesting phenomenon, that an ideal teacher can influence the whole world. Actually, just prior to Prabhupada's departure, he told us in the future historians would note how this movement has actually changed the world. So there's going to be an effect. It may appear, you know, we're just a small group of people here. There's a million people in Austin. How many people have showed up for the program? See? It may appear not to be very significant. But actually, by strictly following this pathway of the great acharyas, there is great power and potency, and it actually will have an effect. It may take some time to manifest, but the effect is going to be there. So we should... it's like we pray every morning, Bhakir Nasinga Hridaye Nasinga, and every in the Arti also we sang it today. Prabhupada expands the meaning of Bhakir Nasinga Hridaye Nasinga. May Lord Nisringadeva dwell within my heart, killing all my bad propensities so that my mind becomes completely clean and I can bring peace to the entire world. Bhakir means externally in Nisringa. Hridaye Nisringa means within the heart. So Nisringa within, Nisringa without. If we want to be totally Nisringaized inside, completely clean, purified, you see. And we want the whole world to become Nisringaized, Krishnaized. You understand? In other words, revolutionize your heart and revolutionize the world. They go hand in hand. To whatever extent we've actually revolutionized our own hearts, our own consciousnesses, to that extent, we are powerful and actually having an uplifting impact on the entire universe. That's the great power of this Krishna consciousness. Accordingly, locus tadanuvartate. In this connection, Prabhupada explains, this is one of the most amazing statements in all of his books, for me at least. Prabhupada says that when one chants the holy name of the Lord without offense, he becomes Jagat Guru. And under his influence, the whole world becomes Krishna conscious. Wow! That's big. In other words, just by pure chanting, you can turn history upside down. You can do this. You can do this, you see. If any... If just one ISKCON devotee can become an absolutely pure, I mean absolutely crystal clear pure, that one devotee's influence will turn the whole global history completely upside down. You see? So think about that next time you chant your rounds. Krishna, please bless me with Shudanam. Please bless me with Shudanam. And another similar quote, Prabhupada describes a Krishna conscious being. Now, are we supposed to be Krishna conscious beings or not? Yes. We're supposed to be. We're ISKCONites, right? ISKCONers. This is the International Society for what? Krishna consciousness. So we are supposed to be Krishna conscious. Duh. Takes a rocket scientist to figure that one out, right? Duh. So anyway, here's Prabhupada's definition of someone who is actually Krishna conscious, and that's supposed to be you also. You see. Prabhupada's definition of someone who is actually Krishna conscious. Let's see if we're really Krishna conscious or not until we hear the definition. We can say, well, I don't know if I'm really Krishna conscious yet according to the real meaning of Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada says, a Krishna conscious being is always planning how to deliver the suffering humanity back to home, back to Godhead. Do you wake up in the morning thinking, what can I do today to deliver the world? Do you wake up thinking that in the morning?
Not even close.
Can I get to work on time? Whatever. But this is what it actually means to be Krishna conscious. Prabhupada, a Krishna conscious being is always planning how to deliver the entire for suffering humanity back to home, back to Godhead. And even if he's not successful in doing so, his perfection is guaranteed. And anybody who follows him will also become perfect. Wow, that's powerful stuff, you see. So, would it be wrong if I tried to do that? Would it be an ego trip? Would it be puffed up? If I thought, well, let me see if I can save the world. Would that be egotistical? Or would that be following Prabhupada's instructions? See what I'm saying? Prabhupada gave this order. He said, become guru and deliver the world. He gave the order to deliver the world. So how can I think about going back to Godhead if I haven't delivered the world yet? You see what I'm saying? Then maybe I should be thinking of taking birth after birth after birth until the whole world is delivered and then go back home. You see, I'm thinking like that. How can I think of going, leaving here if I haven't fulfilled the order to deliver the world? As I'm thinking. Of course, it's interesting to know, I think it's Narad Muni. It's described, he's in both worlds simultaneously. That's interesting. He's in the spiritual world and the material world at the same time. So you could go back to Godhead and at the same time be here preaching Krishna consciousness. That's really interesting. You could actually be a pure devotee having your original loving relationship in one of five primary rasas with Krishna as a gopi, a gopa, a parent, a cow, a monkey, a pigeon, or a dhoti, or a peacock feather. You see, just imagine being Krishna's peacock feather. You may say, well, that sounds pretty impersonal. But no, everything in the spiritual world is a person. Even the peacock feather is a devotee, a human who's taken that form because Krishna, to please Krishna. See, everything in the spiritual world is a person, and they're all humans. But they take different forms because Krishna to reciprocate in a certain mood. The human takes the form of a cow or a monkey or a peacock just to please Krishna in a certain way because they want to please Krishna in a certain way. It's their rasa, their innate nature. So anyway, this is a wonderful thing that you can actually do this while you're working at IBM or whatever. You can actually have this internal meditation. What can I do to actually bring about a spiritual revolution on this planet? I gave the example, I think it was at Burroughs Corporation, one godbrother in Detroit. Even regular corporate job, the coat and tie and all the whole thing, But he put a Bhagavad Gita on his desk, you see, because he was in the mood of a revolutionary. He put a Gita on his desk, and lo and behold, he made a devotee. One of the other co-workers, Randy Meyer, he said, what is that book you have there? Oh, you can take it home and read it, And he became a devotee. My godbrother now, Ramiya Das, was made a devotee. He was working at a corporate job, along with another devotee working at a corporate job, just by seeing a Gita there delivered, you see. So, in whatever your position is, you can be thinking like a spiritual revolutionary, you see. Whether you're a housewife or a garbage collector, a student, a prison warden, whatever your kind of work you're doing, you can think, well, how can I live my life in such a way to stimulate an awakening of Krishna consciousness in others? You see what I'm saying? So, and even if you're just meditating on it, and you can't really do anything because of your occupational duties, you're just a student, and you can't really do anything, but just even meditating on it, is powerful. It will actually liberate you from material consciousness, and you never know what's going to happen, like that book in the Burroughs Corporation. So it's really anyone can do this, you see. Anyone can do this. Everyone can do it. How can I be instrumental for Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan movement? You see, how can I be an instrument in the hands of Guru and Gauranga for making a spiritual revolution on this planet? It's actually pretty exciting when you start thinking that way. So another thing I realized in this trip, which has really, really been a real eye-opener for me. You see, you have that potency according to the degree of your purity. So how do you cultivate purity? How does one, in a practical way, cultivate absolute purity on a regular daily basis, on a moment-by-moment basis? How do you cultivate absolute purity? I figured it out one day. It just came to me. What you do is, as much, you can do it many, many times through the day, whenever you think about it. When you're standing in line, you know, even at a red light, you're sitting at a red light waiting. You know, you have so many times that you have a minute to, you know, you could pray. You know what I mean? Retire light, ready, and say a little prayer, you know, while waiting for the light to turn green. Here's how you pray. My dear Krishna, and you can use your own words too. You don't have to verbatim quote, but the essence. You can pray, my dear Lord Krishna, please bless me that my every thought, my every word, my every deed in every situation is absolutely perfect. Because right now we're far from them. But if you keep praying for that and you keep, you know, doing it, you know, you can do it when you wake up in the morning and come out of your bed and the way to the bathroom and brush your teeth, you know. And you can do that when you're brushing your teeth even. You can think like that. And there's also a very special prayer in Sanskrit that has the same meaning. Maybe you know that prayer. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So see what this meditation will do for your japa. See, we have a tendency to chant mechanically. Yeah, I got to do the rounds. Okay, nish nish nam nam nish, the rounds finished, you see. But we forget to get in the mood of actually what we're trying to do. What is the whole purpose of this? This whole purpose of chanting Hare Krishna is praying, my dear Krishna, please bless me that my every thought, my every word, and every deed, and every situation is completely surrendered and totally pleasing to you. This is the inner mood of the Hare Krishna mantra, you see. And if you say it in English or whatever your native tongue is, whatever you pray in, Telugu, Tamil, or whatever your natural prayer is, you know, you don't have to say it in English, maybe Spanish, you know. Whatever your natural tongue is, Gujarati, or, you know, every Krishna is multilingual, you know, he understands every language. Whatever your natural language is, you can beg Krishna in that way. And it's not that you can pray it in, you know, you can vary it, you can say it in 1,000 different ways, but the essence is the same. Or you can pray to your spiritual master also, it's the same thing. Krishna is very pleased when he sees you're the devotee of his devotee, not that you're only his devotee. You know the sloka, you see. There's a nice verse. Ye me bhakta jana parta, na me bhakta shtate janaha, mad bhakta namcha ye bhakta, te me bhakta tamamata. My dear Arjun, the one who is my devotee, na me bhakta, he's not my devotee. But the devotee of my devotee is my devotee. So Krishna is also very, very pleased when you pray to your spiritual master like them. Or you can pray to Srila Prabhupada. He is the Siksha Guru for all of us, you see. So that is also another way you can enhance it. You can pray to Krishna, you can pray to Guru, you can pray to Lord Chaitanya. But the idea is the same. And here's the interesting thing. Actually, if your thoughts are pure, the other things follow automatically. You see? Because what you speak is simply a reflection of what you're thinking about. And what you do is a reflection of what you're thinking about. So really, if you can just get the mind on the right track, then everything else will follow automatically. But I find it's helpful to say all three things. I personally like to say all three things. But actually, philosophically, if you just get the mind fixed, everything's there automatically. But actually, it's very good because when you're dealing with, let's say you're dealing with your wife or your husband or your kids or your parents or your guru mother or your other devotees, you can be always conscious of that. Let me always speak and act here in this association in a way that will please my spiritual master, that will please Krishna. In other words, this is called being introspective. You don't just act whimsically. Prabhupada says a gentleman thinks twice before speaking anything. So one should always observe himself. Am I acting properly right now? Am I speaking properly right now? Am I thinking properly right now? This introspective nature is very, very valuable and very potent. And it comes down to, you know, having an impact on the whole world, actually. Because the more you purify yourself, lokas tadda nivartate, whatever action a great man performs. So why is, you can say, well, why the world is not pursuing? Because we're not really great men yet. You see what I'm saying? We're not that great. We're just kind of, you know, neophyte. But when you actually get to the point of being a great man, a true acharya, who is perfect in his every thought, word, and deed, in all times, places, and circumstances, then we'll have a powerful impact. But it's going to happen. Papa told us, the historians will note how this movement changed the world. It'll be noted down by the historians in the future. So it's going to happen. So somebody's going to make it happen. Why it shouldn't be me, right? If this movement is going to have a huge impact for flipping world history, putting history, world history right side up, why not be one of those who actually helped to do that? You see what I'm saying? Why should somebody else give the credit? Why I should go for it too. The fact is, this movement is going to create a huge spiritual revolution, completely flip history. Prabhupada told Allen Ginsberg, he had a conversation in the beginning, early days of the movement. There's a 10,000-year period that began 500 years ago with the advent of Lord Chaitanya. During this 10,000 years period, the Krishna consciousness movement will gradually completely inundate the whole global society. And then it'll increase, where there's a whole, you know, completely, like a whole Vedic culture becomes reestablished on this planet. And then it goes back down into full-blown Kali Yuga. So the Kalki eventually comes and kills everyone. But right now, we're in the upswing. Jai. We're in the upswing. Hare Krishna, welcome. We're in the upswing. In the next 4,500 years, we're going to see this movement take over the world. How fast will it happen? Well, it depends on the quality of our consciousness. Since Prabhupada said deliver the world, I'm thinking, well, I should just try to pull it off in the next 10 years, you know. Yeah, that's how I think. What can I do in the next 10 years, or in the next 10 minutes, or in the next 10 seconds? You see what I'm saying? To completely revolutionize world history. That's how I'm meditating. You see? What can I do? What can I say? What can I do to actually, you know, attract the whole world to Krishna now? That's how I'm meditating every day. You see? So. And as Prabhupada said, even if he's not successful in attracting anybody, his perfection is guaranteed. Anybody who follows him will become perfect. So I have nothing to lose by meditating on this. And it's interesting, a Jagad Guru means one who can attract the whole world. And Prabhupada told me in one letter I could aspire to become Jagad Guru. He directly told me I could do this. It's a spiritual desire. So. And when I found out the meaning of my name, I got really enlivened. Sankarshan means one who attracts everyone. I went, wow. Like there's kirtan, and then sangha kirtan, you know, a big kirtan. And there's karshan, it's the same root as Krishna, attracting. And then sankarshan means like sangha, everyone attractive. Sankarshan is mentioned in Prabhupada's books, one who attracts everyone. So I'm praying to Krishna that the real purport of Sankarshan can be fulfilled, you see, one who attracts everyone to Krishna. So, it makes life interesting at least. Yeah. You get up every morning and let's see what I can do today to pull off a global spiritual revolution as soon as possible, you see. And what else there's to do, you know, when you're 70 years old, you know. What else is there to do? People are amazed. You're 70 years old. You look like you're 70. Actually, I feel like I'm 22, to be honest. Even though I got wrinkles, you know. Actually, the wrinkles, I had some eye allergy in Vrindavan. That's why the wrinkles, the eyes were itching. I've been rubbing them. Itching was unbelievable. That's why I had these wrinkles, just from an eye allergy. A couple of times I had bad eye allergies. But yeah, you can actually have that. I still have the enthusiasm of a youth. Actually, I came to this world, I came to this movement already thinking like that. See, I was gonna go to India and just be a renunciate, one of those quote holy beggars unquote. You see, that was my plan. See, somebody wants to be a doctor, an engineer, a computer scientist. My choice was to be a holy beggar. That was my career choice. I'm serious. I was heading to India, and the way to India, become a holy beggar is my career path. You see. But then I was following this path of philosophical path called neti neti. I didn't know that term, but I was actually doing that. Deny, 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 neti, 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 neti. But I came to a realization. I had actually shipped all my stuff from Denver back to Houston, and I didn't tell my parents what I was gonna do. There was a couple of hippie friends. We were going to rendezvous in New York and get a job on a steamer and go to India. That was the plan. So I got to Houston. I was getting ready to head out for New York. And I had a realization one night about this whole denial thing. Deny, deny. I denied and I wrote it down. It was so profound. I denied and I denied until I could deny no longer. And then I had to start accepting. In other words, if you want to deny, like the neti neti people, they deny, deny. After you denied everything, what is there left to deny? Denial itself, you understand? I realized now I have to deny denial also, and I have to accept something transcendental. And I felt there was some spiritual, highly elevated spiritual personalities in San Francisco that wanted me to come and join them for saving the world, revolutionizing the world. So instead of hitchhiking in New York, hitching this way, I put my thumb this way, and hitchhiked to San Francisco from Houston, 2,000 miles, you see. And the first people I met were the devotees in Golden, coming out of the park. I didn't realize these were the people I was supposed to join. Because I'd been polluted by my right philosophy, thinking, I am Krishna, you see. I went to the temple, I was chanting Hare Krishna. In the temple room with Brahma Trini, he says, oh, you're chanting so nicely. I was thinking, ha, 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 if she only knew that I am Krishna. So I was, polluted with Mayavadi philosophy. Seriously. I was laughing. I really thought I was Krishna, you see. So it took me a couple of years, a lot of kicks of Maya, my heavy kicks. It took me a little over 2 years, but finally, Krishna, I finally came out of it. I got a little sense and understood I'm not Krishna. And I had to become a totally sold-out servant of God. I realized that. And then when I came to that realization, Vishnu Janaswamy shows up in Austin and attracted me to join this movement. The final thing that did it was, because I was a singer-songwriter, just going to be, George Harrison, I just said, my sweet Lord, I'll be a Krishna-conscious singer-songwriter, In the footsteps of George Harrison, he was my siksha guru, I guess you'd say. So, I'm not going to be one of those brahmacharis, no way. But I was living in the temple, I needed a place to stay, and I had nowhere to live at the time, so they welcomed me. So I'll stay there for a while, learn how to write better, more Krishna-conscious songs. But one morning, we just gotten an LP, 33 and the Third album. It was handed to us by a DJ who didn't want to play it on the radio station. It was from Apple Records. George Harrison produced it, called the Radha Krishna Temple album. And on this album, there was the second cut, Samsara Dava Nalalita Loka. Tranaya kar yunyal guna gunadvam praptasya kalyana gunana vasyam vande guru shi charanaravindam. The London devotees were singing, and there was so much love in their hearts. So my service was to vacuum the temple room rug every morning. I was playing that record while I was vacuuming the rug, and I was loud enough to hear it over the vacuum cleaner. And I was just amazed. Because, you know, I loved a girl, I loved a dog, I loved, you know, I loved the 4th of July, you know, the fireworks display, and I loved hamburgers, whatever we loved growing up in America, you know. But that love was always dirty. It was contaminated with sense gratification. You see. But now I was hearing these devotees singing. I was being exposed to a love that was absolutely pure, the love for the spiritual master. There's no sense gratification involved in that love, you see. It's just pure bhakti. So when I heard that, I just like, wow. And like one of those they call eureka moments, you know. I was just absolutely blown away by the ecstasy the devotees were tasting by giving their love to Prabhupada. And I was just the sweetness in their voices, the love that they were feeling, it jumped through the sound vibrations into my own heart. The love that they were feeling all of a sudden became manifested in my heart just by hearing their voices. And I got a taste of that love, that pure love for Guru. And I thought, wouldn't it be beautiful if I gave my life to Prabhupada? And the tears just came. And that was it. I went kind of get initiated. You know. So that was a major turning point in my life. But I was already thinking how to make a spiritual revolution on the planet, you see. I was already meditating with them. So joining the movement, it was natural that I just keep thinking that way. What can I do to make a spiritual revolution on this planet? How to attract the whole world? That impressed me also when I saw the devotees in Dallas. We went up there for Lord Chaitanya Festival shortly before this experience I had in Austin. We had a big papier-mâché diorama of Lord Chaitanya about as high as the ceiling. You know, larger than life, huge Lord Chaitanya. And we carried him down. The police blocked off Turtle Creek Avenue. We went. It's a nice, Turtle Creek Boulevard, it's along a creek. It's a nice park-like area. And we came from some distance down Turtle Creek Boulevard into Lee Park. And a huge festival attracting thousands of youth. And when I saw this Lord Chaitanya Festival, I said, this can attract the whole world. So I was really impressed with this movement when I saw them. You see, this is something that can actually completely revolutionize this whole planet, this Lord Chaitanya's movement. And it was a very big festival. They had garbage cans full of sweet rice, you know, brand new garbage can, obviously, filled up with sweet rice. One had sweet rice, another had halava, you know, feeding out tons of prasadam. It was a wonderful festival in Dallas. And so in this way, my spiritual life began. And so now I'm just thinking what I can do, how I can live my life in such a way that the whole world can become attracted to this movement as soon as possible. Things are really going down. I mean, they're going down. It's like the U.S. government is in shutdown right now, you know that? They shut down because they can't work. Many of the departments are shut down. A few things are still going. The post office is still going, but they have shut down the government. Many government employees aren't going to work because they won't get paid. It's a shutdown of the government because they can't agree on different issues, and therefore there's a shutdown of the government right now. I don't know how long it'll remain shut down. Luckily, the passport office is still open. Because we have to, Mataji's passport is now filled up. We got to get our new passports. I was a little worried we might be able to go because of this, but the passport office is still open by Krishna's mercy. but if you go to a federal office here in any federal offices here in Austin, you'll find they're shut down. They're not open because there's no funding. Funding's been cut, so that these people are not able to properly lead the human society. It's a thing. These political leaders, because they have not reestablished their relationship with Krishna. They don't know how to follow, as this purport is saying, they don't know how to follow the standard scriptures. They're simply basing their life on sense gratification. So these people are not qualified to lead. That's a fact. So somehow or other, we have to induce these, the people in general and the leaders, to take up these principles of Krishna consciousness. This is the prime necessity in the world today. How to convince everyone to take up this pathway. Because it's the only thing that can actually save the world from completely going into total chaos. You see, what's going to happen at the end of the Kali Yuga is going to happen. There'll be a total breakdown of the society. It'll just be cannibalism everywhere, like in the African jungle. That's how bad it's going to get in the Kali Yuga. If your neighbor invites you over for dinner, you're the dinner. Seriously. So that's where it's heading. But this movement can save it. At least for another few thousand years, there's going to be a golden era on this planet. And it's up to us to bring it in as soon as possible. Just so our kids can have a good place to grow up, if for no other reason, you know what I mean? Just for our kids' sake and our grandchildren's sake and our great-grandchildren's sake, so they can have a decent world where they can live peacefully and happily, for no other reason, just for that reason, you see. But we shouldn't just think about our own family members. I mean, come on, we're all family here. You see, we forget that we're all family. We're all brothers and sisters. We're all children of God. Even the dog is my brother, you see. Even the tree is my sister. We're all a family member here. We forget, we just think in terms of the blood and flesh. So that's not us. The fact is we're spiritual beings, and even the mosquito is my aunt, you see. Every single living entity, we're related. We're all interrelated with each other. We're all associates of Krishna from the spiritual world who have fallen down here due to misuse of our independence. So we have to get beyond this bodily consciousness and see things as they are. Not be bewildered by the ups and downs of the material nature. You see, matra sparsha stakanteya shitoshna sukadukada agamapayano nyatnashtang datakshashvabharatam. The non-permanent appearance of happiness and distress and their disappearance in due course are like the appearance and disappearance of the winter and summer seasons. They arise from sense perception of Sayana Bharata, and one must learn to tolerate them without being disturbed. We should not be carried away by the dualities. We should become transcendental to the dualities. Here's a cool trick of how to do that. You have to see that Krishna is the supreme orchestrator. Actually, everything that's happening every minute is within his orchestration. Nothing happens outside of Krishna's orchestration. Even the material energy is working under Krishna's orchestration. So everything that happens, there's nothing happening by chance. Everything that happens to you, to your relatives, to your friends, everything that happens to everybody at every minute is being orchestrated ultimately by Krishna. What's happening here is meant to bring us back to Krishna consciousness. But the sufferings we go through are here to make us wonder, is this really my true identity, that I am this body? You see? Everything that's happening is meant to bring us back to Krishna. If you learn to see the loving hand of Krishna in everything that happens to you at every minute, you see, at every nanosecond, everything that's happening to you is being orchestrated by Krishna to bring you back to his abode as soon as possible. If you have this vision, never become depressed or bewildered ever again, you see. If you can see the loving hand of Krishna at every minute, wherever you go, at work, at home, in the commute, at the temple, when you're visiting your family members, when you're doing this or that, when you go to the hospital, when you go to the dentist, everything. Everything at every minute, in all situations, Krishna is omnipresent. There's nowhere you can go where Krishna is not present, and there's nowhere you can go where Krishna is not orchestrating everything that's happening to you. That's a fact. So if you have this understanding and this realization, and you learn how to love Krishna by following his order to always try to please him with your every thought, word, and deed in every circumstance, then you can have the most amazing thing called personally associating with Krishna at every minute, 24 hours a day. Could you imagine that? Personally associating with Krishna 24 hours a day, feeling his presence. This can be done. You just got to train yourself. It's called Krishna consciousness. This is the movement for Krishna consciousness. So you are meant to learn how to experience Krishna's Sangha every minute. So you never feel separated from Krishna. You always feel Krishna's presence. It's simply, you have to try to always please him. That prayer I taught you, my dear Krishna, please bless me with my every thought, word, and deed in all times, places, and circumstances can be absolutely, totally pleasing to you. The more you think like that, the more you will feel Krishna's presence. So if you can say it 20 times a day or 50 times a day, it's not enough, not too much, I mean to say. You can pray that way 24 hours a day. That's why they say, Kirtaniya Sada Hari. Hare Krishna, 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 Hari, Hari. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. And we chant Hare Krishna. This is the mood. My dear Krishna, Hare is Radharani, my dear mother Radharani. And my dear Krishna, please bless me. I can always be engaged in serving you perfectly with every thought, word, and deed in all circumstances. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. This process works if you work the process. If you don't work the process, it's not going to work for you. If you don't plug into this process, you're going to go nowhere. I can tell you right now, you will go absolutely nowhere. You'll be like a car on an icy road spinning the tires. You see? But if you actually sincerely beg Krishna to purify you and make you his pure devotee, you're going to go places. You're going to go forward. You're going to advance very quickly in this pathway. You'll feel how your consciousness is taking off like a rocket. You'll feel it, you see. You'll have the most awesome day every day. Wow, another day of bliss. Another day of increasing realization. Another day of increasing ecstasy. So my dear ladies and gentlemen and kids, do not cheat yourselves. Take this process very seriously. And you will relish the sweetest nectar in every minute. We absolutely guarantee it. You will. You will taste the sweetest nectar at every minute. If you tune into this process, if you follow my instructions, you will achieve Krishna directly. I will train you how to directly associate with Krishna at every minute. You just have to follow what I'm saying. Embrace these instructions I'm giving you within your heart of hearts. You see? I say this not because it's me, because I'm purely teaching what Prabhupada has taught me. You understand my point? I'm not saying my teachings. These are Krishna's teachings. This is the Bhagavad Gita's teachings, the Bhagavatam's teachings. These teachings that I'm giving you are not invented by me. I'm just a delivery boy. I have no qualification to give you a cashier's check for $1 billion. You see? But as the postal clerk, I can do that. I'm delivering you a cashier's check for $1 billion, you see, even though I can't even pay, had a hard time paying my rent this month. You see what I'm saying? So in the same way, even though I'm also struggling myself, to be honest, I'm also struggling, you see. But what I'm teaching you is the pure message coming from Krishna. This will liberate you. It's liberating me right now and liberate you also. But you have to desire it intensely. You have to have a burning desire in your heart to achieve love of God. You see? I can tell you right now, you're going to have a burning desire for something. It's our nature. You may have a burning desire for money, for a bigger house, or a new car, whatever it may be. You may have those burning desires, but those desires will take you nowhere fast. Nowhere. But if you will take your tendency of a burning desire, apply it to Krishna, you're going to really go somewhere, I guarantee you. You're going to go really somewhere. The time of death, you'll go to sleep and you'll wake up with Krishna in Goloka Vrindavan. It's a fact. You will. For a materialist, death is a very scary thing. Ah, you know, the Yamadutas come, they rip you out of your body. Oh, you sinful rascal, we're going to take you to Yamaraj. We're going to punish you like anything. That's where most people are heading at the time of death. Even our Hindu friends, and our Christian friends, and our Jewish friends, even they, you see. Because they're engaged in sinful activity, they will also be punished. But those who take this process seriously, I must give up sinful activities and become completely pure in Krishna consciousness, they will see the Vishnu Dutas. Ah, oh, we've come to take you back to Krishna. Come on, let's go. You see? So maybe there's some questions. I can try to answer them if y'all have any questions. Yes.
Both you and Guru Mata mentioned a lot of times the mood or the consciousness when we chant is important.
The what?
The mood.
The mood?
Yeah. When we chant, the mood is important.
Absolutely. The mood is begging to be engaged in service, to be begging that I can be absolutely pure in every thought, word, and deed in all times, purely absorbed in service to Krishna. Yes.
But there's also other part that we need to say the mantra correctly.
Yes, just like if I came to you, I said, let's say I really needed something. Let's say your name is Mr. Schmidt. And I came to beg you, Mr. Schmidt, you know, I have some great trouble. I really need some help. And I keep mispronouncing your name. I call you Mr. Smith instead of Mr. Schmidt. How would that work, you know? So this guy don't even pronounce my name correctly. He wants me to help me. He can't even pronounce my name correctly. You see? Mr. Smith, can you help me? Well, my name is Schmidt, not Smith. Okay, Mr. Smith. Can you help me? My name is Schmidt. It's not Smith. You understand? If you're going to go to a great personality and beg for their help and you mispronounce their name, how's that going to work?
It doesn't go there, I understand. But when we have to do 16 rounds, pretty much every person that I listen to...
There's a fact, we're the butchers, the butchers of the holy names.
So that's where I have some trouble.
Yeah. Thing is, each mantra is a chance to perfect it, you know. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Each mantra is a chance to say, okay, I butchered it, that one. Let me do the next one better. You know what I mean? Even if you just focus on pronouncing the names correctly, that will also be good. But to say this other prayer, which is the actual mood we're supposed to be in throughout the day, that will, if you say it throughout the day, you'll automatically have it when you're chanting your rounds also. You see? You don't have to say that prayer when you're chanting your rounds. When you're chanting your rounds, you should focus on pronouncing correctly. It's a thing. But if you have that mood, you have to understand, my mood is I should always be thinking, let my every thought, word, and deed be fully pleasing to Krishna. But actually, chanting the mantra, to be fully pleasing to Krishna, you need to pronounce his name correctly also. If you mispronounce my name, you say, hey, Sankarshan, how you doing, you know? What are you talking about, Sankarshan, you know? Sankarshan, you know? Sankarshan, what are you talking about? So if you want to please somebody, you don't mispronounce their name, isn't it? Pronounce their name correctly, then they go, oh, he's saying my name correctly, he really cares about me. If you mispronounce the name, I don't really give a damn about you, Sankarshan, you know? If you really care about somebody, you pronounce their name correctly. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. We do have to focus on correctly. Prabhupada, every syllable should be correctly chanted and heard. So we have to focus on the doing. That's a thing.
Krishna, he said. So I felt he said Krishna and Ramo. So when we say, what's do you think it
When I hear Prabhupada say, it sounds like Hari Ram, Hari Ram, 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 not Rama or Ramo, but just Ram, Ram. Thing is, you may say, well, it's wrong to say Ram, should be saying Rama. But actually, and when you say Ram, the is also there. You can't say Ram without an uh. You analyze it very carefully. Let me say, Ram. Did you hear the ? Ram. There's an ah, is there? It has to be there. You can't pronounce this consonant without a syllable. Ram. Ram. Hear the ? Ram. The ah is there. So even when you say Ram, you're chanting Rama, Hari Rama, Hari Rama, Rama. It's just subtle, but when I hear the tape, it sounds like Prabhupada is chanting Hari Ram, Hari Ram, 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 but actually the is there subtly. Hare Krishna, 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 Hari Hari, Hari Ram, Hari Ram, 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 Hari. If you want to go Ramo, I have no objection. If you're a Bengali, you're a Bengali? Okay. If you want to go Hari Ram, Hari Ram, Ram, we have no objection. Krishna understands Bengali accent. He appeared as Lord Chaitanya, so he knows Bengali, no problem. Next question.
Gurudev, why unqualified people become leaders?
Because it's the Kali Yuga, you see. Why do unqualified people become leaders? Because in the Kali Yuga, the demons become powerful, and the saintly persons don't have much power in this age. Formerly, the saintly persons had the political power, and the demons were defeated by the saintly persons. It's like the personality of Kali, you see. He was defeated by Maharaj Pariksha. So, but the symptom of this age is, it's a topsy-turvy age, where those who are demoniac become powerful, and those who are saintly do not have that power politically. It's the nature of the age, the Kali. But it's possible to reverse it by spreading this movement. We can get Krishna. We can actually come to the point where people demand Krishna conscious leaders. But we have to educate the people in general when they go to vote. They'll say, well, if he's Krishna conscious, I guess my vote, otherwise no vote. We have to educate the people in general. That's why book distribution is very important. Harinam Sankirtan is very important. All this massive distribution is a very, very important thing. Because even if people don't become devotees, but if they understand the importance of Krishna consciousness, they'll vote for Krishna conscious leaders. Even if they don't never become a devotee themselves, but they'll vote for a devotee, even though they're not able to follow the principles, you know, but they respect our teachings. You see, and they can vote for someone who's actually purely following. So that can come. That's why book distribution, prasadam distribution, harinam, these things are very important things. Can educate the mass of people. So we have changed our travel plans, so we're going to be here for the Bakan Festival this year. We were leaving, but we completely redid all our tickets, went through a whole thing. Canceled many tickets and rebooked different, did a whole thing, many tickets. So we're going to be here for the Bhagavan Festival. So we can try to do some effective, reach the masses. Anything else?
We should aspire for purity moment by moment.
We should aspire for
purity.
Absolutely, you must. If you don't desire purity, where are you desiring impurity? We have to hanker for pure bhakti. If we're not hankering for pure bhakti, we're in Maya, big Maya.
And also, we should also aspire to bring about a spiritual revolution in the world. So at the same time, we also read that we should conduct ourselves before preaching to others, before teaching others.
What's he saying?
one is we have to aspire for purity, and second thing is we should spread Krishna consciousness.
Yeah, but they go hand in hand, because the more actually Krishna says surrender to me, that's purity. Prabhupada said that that order has taken the form in the Kali Yuga of Jari Deka Tathika Krishna Upadesh, become guru and save the world. So our purity is to be absorbed in spreading Krishna consciousness in this age. That is our surrender. To surrender to the mission of Lord Chaitanya for delivering the world. That is our purity. So the more you're in that mood of giving Krishna, that is your purity. Prabhupada said there's nothing more important than saving the world, but even more important is saving yourself. So both things are there. The most important thing is to save yourself. Because if you haven't saved yourself, how you can save the world? But both things are, this movement, we have both Vihirna Singer, Hidayana Singer, the Shringa within, the Shringa without, both things are there. But you should think of, what can I do to spread this movement? How can I attract somebody to Krishna consciousness? And if you can't do it directly, then you can always donate money to those who are doing it directly. For example, we have our monthly donor program, people supporting our preaching activities. So somehow that everyone can participate. Even just giving financial help to those who are full-time preachers, you see. Everyone can do something. You don't have to be a big Hanuman. You can be a little spider also, you know the story. Hanuman was engaging all the monkeys and throwing the boulders in the ocean. Some little spider came and he's putting a little dust. Hanuman said, "What are you doing, you little spider?" Ram chastised, "Hanuman, he's doing as much as you were doing, you see." So you can be a little spider, that's okay. You can't be a Hanuman, you can be a little spider. Whatever you can do, even if it's just coming to the temple and taking out the garbage, you know, on Sunday night, taking the garbage out, put it in the dumpster. Everyone can do something, you see. Everyone can do something. Serving out prasadam during the feast, you know. Everybody can do, or bringing some prasadam, you know. Everybody can do something to help this Sankirtan movement go forward. Everyone should see. Just like there was a, Prabhupada really liked, there was a saying of Indian Railways many years ago. Prabhupada really liked it. They had a poster that every employee must see that the wheel on the engine is turning. It was a motto of Indian Railways. You see. Of course, as the engineer is sitting in the thing, he's pulling the throttle, boom, and goes out of the station. There's some clerk, though, has to sign a paper to authorize they go out of the station. Somebody cleans the tracks also, decks the tracks and makes sure there's no dead animal in the track, you know, or something. No dead leper in the track, you know what I mean? So it's the duty of every ISKCONer to see that this movement is going forward, delivering the world. But it can be, it doesn't matter, everyone can do that. Like seeing that we get the building, you see, properly set up, the new building, all the permits. This is also pushing forward the world deliverance mission, you see. Everybody can do something. Even the kids can do something, you know. You see? Everyone can do something. So everyone should, even if it's little spiders, you know, we can put a little dust in. Everyone should do something to see the push for this movement. What can I do to push for this movement, you see? Can I tell somebody about Krishna? Can I invite somebody to the program? Can I give somebody, a book? Easy journey to other planets. If you always carry the books with you, you never know what can happen. You always have a book handy. You never know what can happen. When you, even you're checking in, you know, it's amazing if you always have a book, or my CDs are now there too. You always have the book or a CD, and you never know. You might find somebody. You can, hey, check this out. You're into this stuff. They see your T-Lock and they go, oh, really, that's really cool. And then you should have a book immediately, you see. If somebody likes your T-Lock, you should have a book right there available. You know what I mean? Just by the T-Lock or by the T-shirt, you see. If you're walking around with a T-Lock or a T-shirt, you should always have a book ready just in case someone's going, oh, wow. Are you into Krishna? I see you have that marking, like the Hare Krishna. You see, be ready. Even if I tell you, if you're ready, you have that book ready, then Krishna will arrange something for you. If you're ready, Krishna will make some arrangement. You see what I'm saying? Everybody can be a preacher. Everyone. You don't have to be a big Maharati going out to 100 days, books a day at the airport. You know, you can just be a humble, you know, devotee, and everyone can do something to push for this movement. And combinedly, if we're all in this mood of save the world, push for the movement, get the books out, tell people about the programs, you know, propagate this knowledge. If everybody's in this mood, and we all get in this mood, save the world mood, synergizing our consciousnesses on this track of deliver the world. We thousands of devotees all over the world, if we really all get in this mood, we can do it. I'm convinced that we can actually see this whole planet become Krishna conscious in the next 10 years. I'm convinced it can happen. We just have to all get on the same page. All the ISKCON devotees all over the whole world. And I'm going to put this on the internet, this lecture. I'm going to put it on SoundCloud and also going to put it... Maybe I'll boost it also on YouTube or something. This is an important lecture of how we can actually save the world in the next 10 years, or the next 10 days. Why not the next 10 minutes? I mean, the next 10 seconds. I mean, that's the kind of immediacy we should have. We must do something right now that will have so much power and so much impact that the whole world will become changed. Right now. That's how I'm thinking. Right now. There's a famous Mayavadi, he said, be here now. We can use that in Krishna consciousness. Let's be purely Krishna conscious right here, right now, in such a way that we become totally revolutionized and the whole universe becomes totally revolutionized right now, right here and right now. That's my modus operandi, you see. Spiritual revolution here and now, y'all. Any other questions? Yes.
Prabhuji, there are various yogas there which you can get a better state of mind. And one of them is Krishna consciousness. But our goal is not to get a better state of mind, but to get the realizations.
We want to perfect our state of mind. Yes. And the pure bhakti is the perfection. The perfect state of mind is prema bhakti. And that's what we're trying to achieve now. We want the perfect state of mind right now.
So my question is, by getting a perfection of state of mind, is not that the Krishna is have blessings we're getting. We have to measure, if we don't get realizations, that means we are failure. Is that what you understand?
To whatever extent you awaken your Krishna consciousness, to that extent you are a success. If you awaken your Krishna consciousness 1%, you're 1% successful in life. I don't care whether you're a millionaire or a prime minister or a famous college professor, whatever it may be. Your actual success and failure is simply based on however much you awaken your Krishna consciousness, nothing else. If you awaken your Krishna consciousness 50%, you're 50% successful. So it's simple. How do you know? You'll know when you're 100% when Krishna becomes manifest. Prabhupada gave me one instruction. He said, now you just qualify yourself to see Krishna face to face. When Krishna personally appears in front of you, as many appeared before great sages in the days of yore, then you know you're 100% successful. When Krishna actually manifests, when he's standing there with his flute, you see him. He's actually visible. He's standing right in front of you. He comes and appears before you. Then you know you're 100% successful. Until then, you got some work to do. A lot of work to do. We all do. We all have a lot of work to do. This lust, anger, greed, madness, illusion, and envy. Horrible, you know. Anger, this problem. We've got so much dirt. I mean, we're so polluted. We're Kali Yugites, you know. We're really polluted characters. Yes. Something? Yes.
About chanting the holy name.
Okay.
Even if somebody in their language, if it's not properly chanted, still they get benefit.
Yeah.
Just like in the China, their language is...
They don't what? They don't say the R in Chinese. They go Hari Lama, Hari Lama, Lama Lama, Hari Hari, Hari Hari. Yeah. Yeah, they don't know how to say the R. So they get the benefit also. Hari Lama, Hari Lama, Lama Lama, Hari Hari.
Sincerity, yeah. That they want to chant,
yeah.
Is the main thing.
Sincerity is the main thing, it's a good point, Jai. Guru Mata enlightened us once again. That's very good. We're entirely indebted to Guru Mata. She's so kind to us. Hare Krishna. You can't glorify her, though. It doesn't work. She won't take it. Anything else? Okay, there's nothing else now. So let's focus now on Vahir Nisinga, Hridaya Nisinga. Repeat it once again. Let my conscience become completely clean. So that I can bring peace to the entire world by inundating the entire universe with Krishna consciousness. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Kantaraj Raja Vidya Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki jai, Gaura Premanandi.